The story has circulated with slight variations for years. The way I heard it, there was a boy named Wallace Perling in the second grade back in the 60s in a Midwestern town. This was back in the day when schools were allowed to have Christmas pageants. Some of us remember those days. And the time came for the grand performance. Wally, as he was known, really wanted to be a shepherd in the pageant. But the play's director, Miss Lombard, assigned him the role of innkeeper. When the performance came around and the costumes were all being worn just right and the set was in place, the auditorium was packed. Wally was excited, especially, and he watched the play from the side as things began. And then the time came when Joseph appeared, slowly guiding Mary to the door of the inn. Joseph knocked on the wooden door, and Wally, dressed as the innkeeper, was there waiting. "What do you want?" Wally said, swinging the door open. "We seek lodging," Joseph said. "Seek it elsewhere. The inn is full." "Sir, we've asked everywhere in vain. We've traveled far and are very weary." "There's no room in this inn for you." Wally looked very stern. "Please, good innkeeper, this is my wife, Mary. She's heavy with child and needs a place to rest. Surely you must have some small corner for her. She's so tired." And now for the first time, the innkeeper looked down at Mary. And with that, there was a long pause. Long enough to make the audience start to squirm. "No, be gone," the prompter whispered from the side. "No," Wally said, "be gone." Joseph placed his arm around Mary and they slowly walked off. But Wally stood there in the doorway watching and started to cry. "Don't go, Joseph," he called out. "Bring Mary back." His face broke into a big smile. He said, "You can have my room." And the play kind of ended right there. That first night in Bethlehem, it all happened in the wrong place with the wrong people. There was no script. No matter how it all unfolded, it surely involved some mess and some anxiety and some tense moments, some smelly cattle and some nosy sheep. Just think about the characters involved, a young single girl, a befuddled fiancé, singing angels and poor unkempt shepherds. It's a story of a refugee family and the ruler of the known world. It happened in what seemed the wrong place with all the wrong people. Luke really wants us to see that sharp contrast between Caesar, as the gospel opens, the grand ruler of all, and this tiny baby. Caesar appeared to be in control. He was considered a god, hailed as Lord of all, Prince of Peace. And through this census of the whole world, he continued to keep his control on the world because he controlled who counted and who did not. He declared people's worth in accordance to what they were worth to the empire in terms of their wealth, their taxes, or their service in the armies. Caesar did not tolerate any opposition. He had lieutenants like Herod to do his bidding. But still Jesus came. He came to poor and insignificant parents in an insignificant town when nobody was paying attention. The news of his birth doesn't come to Caesar or Herod. The news comes to workers in the field. God slips in through the net set by Caesar and Herod. Those who had no value to Caesar, the shepherds, were considered dirty, no account, not trustworthy. They had no homes, but they slept out in the open with the animals in the hills that were beyond the town. They first received the news of one born that night who himself was sleeping with the animals. Jesus is the one who will use power not to control or intimidate or enrich himself, but to liberate, to heal, to love, to reconcile, to tell us we count, that we are worth far more than taxes and as pawns for a battle. And still Jesus comes. Have you ever noticed Christmas carols are often in the present tense? Christ is born in Bethlehem. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. He is with us now, here tonight. He is not just with us, someone said. He is saving us from all that conspires to keep us small and anxious and afraid, so we might live as he lived, love as he loved, with kindness and courage, compassion and resolve. He comes to let the world know there are no wrong people. He comes to make us all braver in loving one another and embracing God's world. There is a deep spiritual power at the heart of Christmas. Jesus finds us just as we are. Jesus was born in harsh, chaotic circumstances and so is not really impressed with the messes we tend to make. God didn't choose the perfect, the neat and tidy setting, or the most virtuous people. God chose imperfection. God enters our world with its chaos and violence, its petty tyrants and violent and oppressive regimes. God continues to choose the most unexpected and subversive ways to do God's work. God comes especially to those who feel downtrodden and forgotten, confused or left out. Emmanuel, God is with us in every heartache, every troubled mind, every struggling body. Emmanuel, God is with us in our deepest joys and our finest celebrations. God has come to us in the most vulnerable form imaginable to say that especially the most vulnerable of us count, that our lives are precious. God has come to overturn every imperial attempt to control and oppress. Jesus invites us to love freely without counting the cost, to live without fear, to care for all God's creation. He is asking us this night to live accordingly to that love, to help create a world where every creature counts. You can have my room, said Wally, purling. May we all make room in our hearts, our lives, our world, for this child. Amen.